This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 8th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a conversation with All Things Considered host Robert Siegel. We'll also have our forecast from meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, to look at today's news. He's been called Secretary of State and Governor. Now his title is Federal Prisoner 16627-424. Illinois Republican George Ryan reported to Federal Prison in rural Wisconsin yesterday. Tony Arnold reports.
While it is a federal prison, it's also minimum security. There's no fence surrounding the building, let alone any barbed wire. And it's made of red brick, almost looking like an office building more than a prison. When Ryan arrived, he slipped in the back, avoiding a number of journalists who had been staking out the front entrance. Christine Montana is a prison spokesperson.
I think you would have to agree that this is a high-profile inmate. This is someone that we would definitely want to make sure that his arrival was a secure and safe and orderly one, and we did achieve that end.
Ryan, who will be serving 6.5 years for racketeering and fraud, was escorted by family members and his longtime friend, former Illinois Governor Jim Thompson. I'm Tony Arnold.
It's the first full day in prison for ex-Governor Ryan, and he's already working hard to get out of it. But University of Illinois law professor Andrew Leopold says, statistically speaking, Ryan has a slim chance to be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court.
The court gets over 7,000 petitions every year asking for it to review one case or another, and they grant review in usually fewer than 100 cases. So statistically, the odds are very long for anybody getting the court to consider the case.
Leopold says the Supreme Court usually hears cases in which a statute is declared unconstitutional or cases that show problems with the jurisdiction process. He says Ryan's lawyers may try to raise that question of how jury trials in the U.S. are conducted. Leopold says if the Supreme Court will hear Ryan's case, it can take up to a year and a half until it's resolved. A mix of Illinois lawmakers indicates there's still little consensus on how to fund schools. Two from each side of the political aisle were part of a forum yesterday hosted by the U of I College of Law. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
Democratic Senator James Meeks of South Suburban Chicago has long pushed for support of an income tax for property tax swap to fund schools. He says his legislation may not be perfect given the variance in property values in different parts of the state, but Meeks sparred Wednesday with Republican Senator Dan Cronin of Lombard for failing to back any kind of financing proposal.
You will pick holes in my solution.
You have to agree to the problem before you fashion a solution.
And here's the problem. The problem is people run on this. They say that it's wrong. There's a problem. I put a solution on the table. They sit around and pick holes in the solution and talk about why it's a bad solution. Okay, that's wonderful. You fix it.
Champaign Democrat Mike Frerichs is also backing the tax swap plan. He says taxes have become one of the most divisive issues in the legislature, as some feel the majority of school funding should be placed on local taxpayers, while he says the burden should lie with the state. Muhammad Republican Chapin Rose also says the state's over-reliance on property tax is hurting his district, but he says little will be accomplished for education or anything else until House Speaker Mike Madigan and Governor Rod Blagojevich can see eye to eye. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Savoy Village trustees have discussed their opinions and questions about a plan to allow limited expansion of mass transit service in their town while protecting many other areas from forced annexation for 25 years. AM 580's Jim Meadows has that story.
The proposal is meant to help apartment residents and businesses in Savoy that want to be in the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District while protecting other neighborhoods from forced annexation. That protection was important to trustee John Brown, who says he's leaning toward voting for the agreement, even though he doesn't much care for the MTD's practices.
However, that doesn't change the fact that they have a statutory ability to forcibly annex us.
But avoiding forced annexation wasn't a good enough reason for trustee Joan Dykstra to support the MTD agreement.
What are we saying about them? If we're saying we have to do this, this is the best we can get, because we're worried that they're going to forcibly annex us.
Savoy Mayor Bob McCleary says he expects a final vote on the agreement before year's end, but hasn't set a date. Meanwhile, Savoy trustees want to revise the proposal to remove 3 commercial land parcels from the annexation area. Their owners don't want to be in the MTD. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Savoy Village Board also last night voted to put a sales tax referendum on the ballot in February. It would ask voters to approve a half-cent sales tax to finance work on streets and other infrastructure. The new mayor of Terre Haute, Indiana, says he was elected out of anger over high taxes. And that'll be his priority as he takes office. Duke Bennett defeated first-term incumbent Democrat Kevin Burke by about 100 votes on Tuesday. His was one of several Indiana municipal elections where outrage over rising property taxes prompted changes. Bennett says he'll propose lots of small cuts in spending, including subsidies for Terre Haute's golf courses and bus service. The Republican thinks he can follow through on his promises, even though the city council is still in the hands of Democrats.
They're very conservative and very conscious of the taxpayer. I've talked with several of them, and I believe that, you know, we can submit a budget that they can live with. You know, I won't be able to submit a budget till for the 2009 year. I will inherit the budget that's in place now. But I think we can begin to work through that and find those things that we can do and then actually reflect that in that next budget.
Bennett admits that Terre Haute will need to spend money, but he says residents want to see value for that spending. He hopes that lowering taxes will keep more people from building just outside the city limits. A portion of a West Side Champaign street has been named in honor of a familiar face on area televisions for decades. Country Fair Drive winds past the WICD TV studios, where 41-year veteran weatherman Keith Page worked. Page died late last year. Before his stint at Channel 15, Page hosted children's TV shows, one of them on WILL back in the 1960s. Page was also well known in the community as a magician. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. NPR's Robert Siegel started his career in college. As a student reporter, he anchored coverage of the student protests at Columbia University in 1968. Speaking with AM 580's Jeff Bossert this week during a visit to Champaign, Siegel says his first job not only allowed him to be informative, but let him fully understand a situation without being involved himself.
And I found this position of the broadcaster, the journalist on the air, to be something that was satisfying in that sense. I was an observer. I was performing a useful service to people. And people said I was doing a good job at it. And I said, boy, if I could actually do this for a living, that would be fantastic. And remarkably, I've been able to do that.
What about NPR within a few years made you realize that this is where you were going to stay, or maybe had some sort of inkling that you do a better job describing things for the ear rather than showing?
One thing is that I really discovered at NPR how good a medium this is, radio, that people take on board what they hear on the radio in a way that's close to reading. When Cokie Roberts, whom I hired at NPR, actually, a zillion years ago, was dividing her time between radio and television, she would say, when I go someplace, the people know who I am from television. They know what I say from radio. This is a medium that is, when people are tuned in, they're tuned in. It's not just something that they're looking at. NPR was growing also. It was a fun place to be. We didn't go there, people of my generation, because it had a lot of prestige and because we'd been listening to it throughout our high school and college years. We were going to the place we hadn't listened to, that hadn't happened yet, and so we had the chance to build it ourselves, to be part of building it. That and not having the look of a matinee idol on television, I guess, made radio a natural for me.
How about the rise of satellite and internet radio? How has that impacted what you do, or has it?
It's a good question. Satellite, I don't think, has impacted that much. I'm not that impressed with satellite as a medium. I mean, I don't know why in this day and age we should have a medium that goes away when you drive under an overpass on the highway. I think the only thing superior to me about satellite over FM radio is that there's more variety on the satellite than there is on FM radio. And the challenge to FM broadcasters and to AM broadcasters, for that matter, is to get more interesting things on the radio. Internet is something different. Internet is a way into... It's a way into the back doors of all the news organizations, first of all. I think most people who hear things or see things from NPR on the web find them not from our many messages saying you can hear more about this at npr.org. Most of them find us through Google, and in searching something, up comes an NPR mention. So the internet is clearly a way that people are learning a lot about what's out there. Perhaps being introduced to the radio service. The big challenge is it true that people in their 20s today are as uninterested in radio as, let's say, my kids who are around 30 were uninterested in AM radio when they were growing up? Is radio generally an old-fashioned medium for young people, and are they all listening on the internet instead? Which will obviously have to change the way we find them. Or is radio something that if we make it interesting enough for people and have enough variety out there, that they'll come to, they'll find at some point in their late 20s when they're driving their kids to and from school?
Finally, what does 40 years of public broadcasting mean to you? I mean, do you go to the editorial staff meetings every day and are taken aback at the fact that this has gone on for...
Well, I'm reminded that there are some things we should not do. That is, we can't simply say, how do we get the largest number of 18 to 35-year-old males to listen to our show today? That just isn't the mission of public broadcasting. That may be the mission of most of the radio stations on the dial. It's not ours. There's something about the public interest. There's something, it's a stodgy old word, but there's something educational or derived from an educational mission that still imbues us, and that's public broadcasting. And frankly, without the Public Broadcasting Act, I wouldn't believe for a second that any of that would be evidenced anywhere on the radio dial today.
Jeff Bossert spoke with NPR's Robert Siegel, who's been a host of All Things Considered now for 20 years. Siegel, who has reported from several countries, says he and the staff of the program are planning a trip to China now and will be doing stories from there next spring. Siegel was in Champaign this week. The next chance of precipitation doesn't look like it'll come until the end of the weekend, according to our meteorologist Scott Olthoff. Our forecast for today calls for a mix of clouds and sunshine across Illinois and Indiana, with highs from 50 in the north to 58 in southwest Illinois, 56 in Champaign-Urbana. Partly cloudy tonight with lows from 32 in northwest Illinois to 40 in the south, the low in Champaign-Urbana 35 with a light west wind. And for tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun, highs from 49 north to 60 south, 52 in Champaign-Urbana. Looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday will be sunny, breezy, and mild with a high of 57. Sunday, cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 58. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 8th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.